I think video is more a performance. It's more of a whole person performance, and the interviewee is conscious of that too. So they sort of begin fixing their hair or worrying about their makeup. Or I interviewed somebody yesterday who got out his powder and started putting on because he had a background in TV and he had that at the ready. But people become much more self-conscious. What I tend to do, because I'm looking to produce both audio and video, is I tend to do the audio first, because that establishes a rapport, it gets them to relax, it just lets them sort of run through their material. And also it helps me, because I will go into the video session with a sort of checklist of things I would like to produce, but often in the process of the interview, other things come up and you think, oh, I hadn't thought of that, but that would be great to get the interviewee to do a minute on such and such. So it's a useful process for both of us. And then when it comes to the video, yes, I will brief them on what I want. I'll say we want to keep these to 1 minute, so it's much more soundbitey than the audio. And I will usually go through and say, well, why don't we start with this, and then we can do that and that and that. So they've got in their minds a kind of idea of it. You have to be prepared to do things more than once. In audio, you can sort of patch things, you can edit things, and you don't have to keep getting people to retake. With video, you want, I mean, obviously there are ways around it, but you want to try and get a clean take, as clean a take as possible. So maybe you'd get them to do it two or three times. But also you have to know when to stop. Because sometimes people kind of jam on something. They just get stuck, they get a mental block, they keep getting to a certain point and something goes. And at that point you've got to know when to sort of stop and do something different and say, that's fine, we'll come back to that, or why don't we talk about this now? And that's often enough just to sort of break that jam. It's horrible watching someone go through the same thing again and again and keep getting stuck. And then they become frustrated and self-conscious, and you will cease to get the best out of them. I am quite excited about the possibility of using the latest iPhone for video. Not for professional clients who expect a different kind of product and finish, but for those moments, perhaps at the end of an audio interview, where you don't have time to set up all the kit, or you're not travelling with all the kit, but you just want some kind of video record of the encounter. So I think, because there are often times where you're working against the clock, I find. You've got an interviewee who's just come back from an appointment and they're late and they've got to get off to another appointment. And you've got to decide, is it going to produce the best result to take the time to set up all the kit for the video? Or might a little iPhone video at the end work? So I think that the capacity of the latest iPhone is really impressive. And I think people who simply want to get some content out quickly should probably think very seriously about doing that. But from that point on, I mean, most compact cameras now have the capacity to do video, and very often in HD. What I'm using is a Canon DSLR, which is in a sort of prosumer bracket, because it offers lots of advantages in terms of quality and interchangeable lenses and low light capacity and so on. And I suppose I've invested more than £1,000 in the camera and lens, and then the tripod might be another couple of £100, and then you go through a lot of memory cards with video, because it's a high definition video, it's very memory hungry. But I suppose with the audio, and maybe even more so, the range of possibilities for someone who just wants to experiment and dip a toe in is huge, from their own phone all the way up to semi-professional level equipment, which will come in at four figures. I think the expectation is of higher quality video than you might get on your phone, say, and that could be the depth of field you will get with a DSLR, or the ability to work in low light will be much better than with your phone. And I think also, I mean, this may be counterintuitive, but human beings are much more tolerant of slightly iffy quality video pictures than they are of iffy quality sound. And so when I go to do a video, the quality of the sound is at least as important as the quality of the pictures. And so what you can capture on your iPhone won't match that in terms of sound quality. So I'll be using an external sound recorder, and I'll be using a clip-on microphone, so I get a really good quality sound, and then I will be matching up the the audio from the camera and the external recorder using a piece of software called Dual Eyes, which does all the synchronization for me. So you've got a good quality image from the camera, and you've got a very good quality sound from the recorder. And I think that, along with the intrinsic quality of the images, sort of sets it apart. But I think also there's a perceptual issue that if you turn up and you're charging money, then you can't really turn up with your iPhone, you know. And it doesn't look very professional. And it's an obvious invitation to the client to say, well, I could do that.